You know, unless you've been away for a month or first time here or just, I don't know, get incredibly distracted during church services, you'll know we've got a theme this year. I mean, sure enough, I've seen people, I think, are you watching the replay of last year's grand final again during church? I don't know. But otherwise, you will know that we've got an awesome theme in 2024, and it's called Kingdom Come. Kingdom Come, straight out of the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus is teaching us how to pray, and he says, you know, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we know the plan because God has a plan. You know what that plan is? For his kingdom to come, by and large, it's through us. Through us. Now, sometimes I think, if I was God, you know, you ever have those moments? If I was God, you know, would I have really had that as a plan through human beings to bring his kingdom in such a way? Because to be honest with you, a lot of mighty fine Christians and churches and great movements can be a little bit, it's all about them. You know, it's about what would God do in me and for me and bring to me. And yet the revelation that we're really living this year is that God wants to bring his kingdom through us. It's a strong word. And there's two real high points that we're highlighting. And one is it's upward towards God, his kingdom through us in worship. And we'll see a good focus on that through the coming weeks and months. And the other one is outward through us to others. And that's what we're calling our witness. And this is God's plan. And we see in the New Testament, there's sort of three areas that we sort of bring into that whole area of witness, our witness in this world we live. And the first one is like what we're calling declaration. It's a declaration that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the way and the truth and the life. And he has died and risen, and he is Lord, and he is the Son of God. There's a declaration that comes in our witness. There is just had a total mental block there for one sub moment. The transformation, of course, and that's the testifying of the personal change in our life, of the experiences, and it's a way we witness. Let me tell you, I am not the same person that I was before Jesus invaded my life. And people who knew me before, they certainly know that message. But even people I meet today, I can tell them that that transformation message, it's part of my witness. And then the other thing is our demonstration. So there's the declaration, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There's that transformation, and then there's the demonstration. And this is how we live it. It's like a demonstration. It's our love. It's faith expressing itself through love. It's demonstrating the teachings of Jesus and the reality of him in my life. All these things constitute our witness. So we are definitely on that journey. So tonight we're actually going to do just mix it up a little. I'm actually going to invite, we've got three people here tonight. We did have four, and Liam's just called in saying there's so much moisture pouring out of his nose in a drought in a small country town. So I said, mate, no, you just stay home. But this evening, I'd like to invite three participants here tonight, and that is young Ella. I believe she's in the house somewhere. The fairly young, you know, not quite as young as Ella, Nadine, and the slightly older Eric, Pastor Eric. So if you three would like to come out. Put some chairs here. We've got a chair there, sorry. Let's smack that right in the middle over this side, Ella. Beautiful. Fantastic, yep. And Eric right there. How exciting is this, these three champions here? Wow. I thought we might just ask him some questions because we're talking about witness tonight. Witness. And I think there's a slide somewhere which may have popped up there. Everyone's a witness. That's the message tonight. Everyone a witness. If you look closely there, there's a few people I've seen here tonight on that slide. But that's the revelation of our time. It's our message tonight is that everyone a witness. And it's more part of God's plan than we can possibly comprehend. I'm telling you now, it's that real. And, we could just pick out 40 or 50 people here tonight, line them all up, we'd go for hours. But then someone would tell Pastor Jack, Andrew went 2.5 hours over time, and I'd get in enough trouble, so why don't I do that? Ella, how wonderful you are. You're a witness. You're a witness. I mean, I don't really know you a great deal, but I just want to, I was debating whether to share this, but while pretty much overnight, I was just preparing for this service, and it's like God put some thoughts in my heart for you, and I'm just going to share this now. Why not? And we're talking about being a witness. We're talking about being a light, and I had this very strong impression that, mate, you are a light, and everywhere you go, you light it up. And I saw this image. It's like a you know, when you track it, you got a tracker on someone, you know, and like it was fast forward, and it's just this and. You were all over the place in your life and life to come. And everywhere you went, you brought light. Let me tell you, it sort of drilled in a little. And some of those situations were pretty dark, I'm telling you now. Places where there wasn't a lot of hope, where there was some pretty heavy things going on. It was not a fun places. And yet God was sending you into those places, and you were bringing light to those things. And let me tell you, God is working many things together in your life to bring forward that purpose and that destiny. So I'm just going to sneak that in there as we introduce you, you know. Yeah. Bella, Ella, you're Jesus has his hand upon you to be a witness. Why do you think that is something on your life? How would you explain, like, what are some reasons why you think it's important to be a witness for Jesus?
First of all, thank you. That was really awesome. First of all, I'd like to apologise for my voice. We had a pretty hectic worship night at youth on Friday. My voice still hasn't recovered. Why is it important to be a witness? I think if you've been in this church long enough, you would know that it's a command of Jesus to be a witness. There's a verse, actually, that we say all the time here in church. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So that's obviously the first thing for me. It's a very personal mission, that verse, to live out that command of Jesus in my life. But the second reason is I believe it develops us in our faith. And it improves our trust in God. So, because it takes courage, right? It takes courage to be a witness. And I want to quickly share a bit of a story, a bit of a testimony that happened when I was in primary school, actually. It was a public school, and the culture just really didn't accept any sort of religious ideologies. I was very excluded from a lot of friend groups. And one day, scripture came in, a little bit of a shout out to SRE. And that had a really big impact because then I felt like I had a bit of a platform, right? And there were all these kids in my scripture class who very much didn't know Jesus but just happened to show up to a Christmas scripture class. And they were being taught scripture, and I felt a very heavy calling of the Lord on my heart to show them a bit about worship. But I was obviously pretty terrified because these were my peers. I was already very excluded. I was already, you know. But I chose, okay, let's follow that lead of the Holy Spirit. And I went to my scripture teacher and I said, hey, I'm actually part of the kids' church team at my church. And I'm part of the worship band. And I would love an opportunity, if you're okay with it, to spend 5 minutes in a scripture class, just doing some worship with these guys. And she said, absolutely. And so for a few weeks there, I had worship running on YouTube on the back screen and singing. And I thought, this is going nowhere, you know, that's fine. And 1 week I was sick with a sore throat. And I thought, worship's just not going to happen this time around. That's okay. You know what? All good. I came back the week after expecting for it not to have happened. And I hear from my scripture teacher that one of the girls hadn't given her life to Jesus but saw the value in worshiping God through what we did, had gotten up the front, had played the song Limitless that I had been playing on the screen and led the actions. And in doing so, 3/4 of the class got up beside her and did the actions with her. Crazy. But that's not me. That's the courage of God through me and listening to his calling. So yeah, that's why I think it's important in my life to witness to others. It's because it's a command of God, because it develops us in our faith and our trust in God, in our courage, but also you just never know what God wants to do through you.
That's pretty outstanding. We should applaud that young lady. Beautiful. Thank you. And you gave a great example there too. Wow, thank you. Move on to the next young lady. Nadine, we have seen God just invade your life in Mick's life, and it's just so wonderful to see God just come in there. And you know, and look, you're a wife, you're a mum, you're a grandmother, you're a sergeant in the New South Wales Police Force. You're very involved in road trauma support and many other things. You liaise with some people who've gone through. God's just using you. I know your passion is, like the song we've been singing, is more of you and less of me, you know. So along this journey in recent years, how would you describe, how did this thing come to you from the Lord to be a witness?
Okay, firstly, I'm going to be hard-pressed to beat this young lady. So for me, I was saved in this house about 8 years ago, and my life wasn't terrible at the time, but there was a lot of deep things happening in my world. And, you know, through his grace and, you know, I was healed. And so for me, having that freedom in my life and knowing that there was others in my world, particularly in my professional world, who were very broken, I actually felt... commanded is the word, and led by the Holy Spirit to share my faith with others, and not in a weird way, but in a genuinely authentic way if the conversations came up. And so, you know, I've actually been able to share stories about, you know, times where I've been depressed or times where I've felt rejected or other issues that I've had in my life where God's working with me and healing me. I've been able to share that with others. And so, you know, watching people, and sometimes it's just a seed that's planted. You know, sometimes people look at me like I'm weird, and that's okay, because God tells us that we will be rejected, and that's fine. But just to know that I'm being obedient to what he's actually telling me to do, and sharing my story. So for me, and like you said, it's actually helping me grow in my faith as well, because when people do start to realize that there's a better way to live, and I have seen people come to their faith, whether it be from me or a seed that I've planted, it's actually grown my faith more. And so, yeah, that's why I think it's important to witness.
That's pretty awesome. Would there perhaps be a like an example, a story of some situation that you've engaged with someone, and there's something like you to share one of your witnessing experiences?
Yeah, so probably about 3 years ago now, I was in a sort of season where I wasn't sure what I wanted to do career-wise, and I took a month off work, and during that time I felt very convicted that God said to me, I want you to be a chaplain. And I'm like, what? what do you mean? And so I actually, again, being obedient, I went and did full-time chaplaincy study while I was working full-time, which I don't even know how that happened, but here we are. During my studies, I was actually asked to conduct an interview with someone in relation to an area of their life that they were struggling in. And I bravely asked my work colleague if he would do this interview with me. It was an hour interview. Sorry, it was a 10-minute interview. And he agreed to do it. Now, this person had come from an overly religious background, is all I will say. And he had left his faith. He wasn't interested in God anymore. And he knew that I was a Christian. He knew part of my story. But he agreed to do this interview with me. So I set up the camera and we spoke for 10 minutes on this subject. And before we actually started the interview, I actually prayed and I said, Jesus, give me the words, because if this is what you want me to do, you need to help me out here. So 10 minutes into the interview, we finished the portion of the question, and then for an hour later we spoke, and there was a lot of emotion at the end of the conversation. And fast forward 3 years, he's actually come back to his faith, and stronger than ever. And I've got his permission to share this tonight. So he, not only have I seen him thriving in his life, I've watched him start to heal from a lot of brokenness in his life, but also I've watched him start to focus on others. And his wife's mum, they don't have a relationship, but because this person has been able to sow into both of their lives individually, and now the mum and the daughter have a relationship again. He's restored relationships with his children. He's had healing from his past hurts. And I've got to say, when you talk about restoring or watching someone restore their faith, like, praise God. That's not me, right? That's all him. We can't do that in our own strength. So, and I'm sharing that today. It's actually his birthday today, so shout out to him. But yeah, it's so important. It's actually not about us, right? When we step out of our own way, it's not about us. So, yeah, and I'll keep doing it and doing it and doing it without fear.
How good is that? This is better than any other preaching you're going to get tonight, I tell you. Brother Eric, Pastor Eric, Evangelist Eric, what a man of God you are. The passion you have for lost people, to see them come to Jesus and to be a faithful witness, has inspired many for generations, or at least, one or two generations. Something like that. But you know what I'm saying. I think anyone who knows this man knows exactly what we're saying. Brother, how did you come to have such a passionate, evangelistic heart to witness to people?
Well, thank you for that. That was uncalled for, but thank you. When I became a Christian, God came into my world and I just changed incredibly. The change was not so much... I obviously was a sinner, but that wasn't the real... change. The change was that I fell in love with this amazing God. I didn't know him personally, and the day I became a Christian, that night and the next morning, now 150 years later, I just can't get over how incredible he is. And that fuels every part of my life, everything. So when it comes to evangelism, I just want people to experience what I've experienced. And I want them to know that there is a God, and he's a person, and he loves them. And he loves them far more than I could ever imagine, far more than they could ever imagine. And so to fast track and to answer your question, I think about them and I think about eternity. And I think about eternity is a very long time to be wrong about your faith, or wrong about that you don't believe there's a God, or that you believe that a stone in some desert somewhere, that that's a god. Eternity is a really long time to find out that you're wrong. And so I care for people just like God cares. So it's nothing I've brought on myself. It's just that I love God and he loves people. So his love is in me. And that's why I want to share Jesus wherever I can.
Wow. How good is that? Brother, Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. And he's made you a fisher of men. And perhaps you could share to us some of the ways, two or three ways, perhaps different, because people might be sitting here thinking, I want to be that guy, like that guy, you know. Just to talk us through ways that you reach out to people, you encounter people in various ways. I know you do. You want to share some of that?
Okay. I don't think I'm anything unique, by the way. I think, firstly, though, I think we're all witnesses, right? That's what you said before. We're all witnesses. And to make sure that my words have authority, I need to make sure that I'm living what I'm saying. Even if nobody else knows, but I know. And certainly my life will be a witness, will be a story, even if I don't say any words. But even if that's not the case, just the fact that I want to live for God and I do live for God, and when I don't live for God, I correct myself, or God corrects me, and I get all that sorted. That's the first thing. But how do I witness? I think two basic ways. I call it the bold approach and the gentle approach. The bold approach is basically, hey, you're going to hell. Or, hey, Jesus Christ really loves you. Or whatever. And, you know, we say a lot about friendship evangelism, and I believe that, and I've spoken that, and I encourage that. But sometimes just get in and just do it. Just say it. Just, you know. I got a mate at work just on last week, and he was my mate before then, but last week. He was talking about something, and so I just said, hey, God loves you more than you would ever know. And he's so un-Christian, so against. He says, I don't believe in anything. I don't believe in God. And he swears and carries on. Yeah, mongrel, and calls me all this stuff. And I just smile and just say, hey, you know what? And he says, I don't care about God. He's just last week he said this. So I don't care about God. He said, I've blasphemed him so many times, and I forget what he said, but anyway. And I said, you know what? He loves you far more. And I just smile. He loves you so much. And it just makes him angry. but he's not angry at me. He's just angry at... So the bold approach. When I was young, talking with young people, I used to go up to groups of people when they're sitting around just on the grass or at a pub or something. I just walk up to them and say, hey, I'm the Bible basher. And that would just smash the ice right there. And I'd just be ready for whatever. That some people would go, get away from here. Or they'd be curious. Well, how would somebody do that? And so I'd just start talking. Or the gentle approach. Last couple of days ago, I was getting ultrasound on my foot because I messed my foot up a few years ago and it's still sore. Got ultrasound on my foot. And I just said to the lady, I said, can I share with you just something that's really real and would change your life for 20 seconds? And I thought, I've got 20 seconds and I better stick to it. So I just said, Jesus Christ is real. He loves you. He died and rose again for your sin so that you can live in eternity with him. Now you can know him. And that's what I said. And I just said it just like that. And from that, she'd finished her appointment. She had other appointments, but we ended up talking for about 10 minutes just about God, eternity, all sorts of stuff. I was just gentle. I wasn't bold. I actually asked her permission if I could share that. But I think thinking about the person is what motivates me to do all that.
How good is that? I think we better applaud Pastor Eric and all of our guests tonight. Thank you, panelists. We'll thank you. Take your chairs with you if you like. Beautiful, beautiful. How good is that? Wow. And as we said, we could just go on and on, and we could just pick people out all night to share this. And one of the key messages there is the message is everyone a witness. So just tonight, with these three champions, you've heard three very different personalities, types, journeys, methods, but all coming out from that heart that knows God's plan. And there's just a couple of... I'll just command that clock to stop while we're talking here. because it is, this is the bottom line. This is God's plan for all followers of Jesus. It's actually, whether you realize it yet or not, that's his plan. And there's something here for everyone. In this game, everybody gets to play, if we can put it like that. Gets the part, gets the call, the calling. It's powerful. There was a day when Jesus, look, he was standing just like this. In fact, they're on a mountainside, so just pretend I'm on a mountainside. I'm higher up the mountain looking at Jesus, at his followers in Matthew 5. And I think we'll hear this verse a lot in the coming weeks and time. And he addresses his disciples and followers, and he says, you, and he's looking at them as he's saying it, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. You can't hide a city that's built on a hill. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. That would be ridiculous, wouldn't it? Turn the light on and just put a bowl over it. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. This is God's plan, and it's his plan for you and for me. That together, especially I think so, in these crazy days in which we live, people are getting very disillusioned with all kinds of things. Disillusioned with politics and philosophies and just all kinds of things. And it's almost like we're being brought into this real time of, it's just darkness and people are lost. Right at the time when he is stirring his church, every part of his church, to rise up and be the light of the world and be a good and faithful witness. The final thought is, and it's already been alluded to here tonight, we don't do this in our alone or in our own strength. In fact, we don't do it alone for a couple of reasons. Number one, we do this together as the body of Christ, encouraging one another, the bride, the body, the whole, so we don't do it alone in that respect, but we certainly don't do it alone without him. Because the key concept here is his kingdom comes, his will is done on earth, his kingdom comes through us. But it's him that's doing the work. And that great cry, it's actually like we talk about the last command Jesus said, the last thing. Let me tell you, the very last thing Jesus said, literally, because it says in the book of Acts, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you and you will be my witnesses. He's just saying you will be. You will receive power and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem where you live, in Judea, in the area, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And it says, as he said that, he rose up. So it's literally the last very thing Jesus said before he was taken up, is that you will be my witnesses and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. So the key take-home message tonight, I'm going to close with this before I pass it over to Matt. Everyone a witness. In your life, everywhere you go, everywhere God has mapped out for you, you are to be a witness. I am to be a witness. Let me tell you, it's a journey of discovery. I've learnt more in the last few years than I could ever comprehend on this journey of learning to be a witness. So let's all learn together to be a witness, and let's do it under the power that he has given specifically for that purpose. And then it becomes a matter of, like we've heard tonight, just simple obedience. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll do what I say. And we've just heard it demonstrated tonight. And guess where that ends up in? his kingdom coming, his will being done in people's lives here on earth as it is in heaven. And that's our cry tonight.